As we've been looking for the past 8 weeks, the Ten Commandments and why they were given and how they were to be passed on, I was reminded when I think about possessions that we have in life, we can have one of three attitudes. What is yours is mine and I'll take it. That's stealing. Secondly, what's mine is mine and I'll keep it. That's selfishness. Thirdly, what's mine is yours and I'll share it. That's stewardship. That's what we see with the Good Samaritan. It's estimated that some 23 million shoplifters in our nation today. That means that roughly 1 out of 10 people are shoplifters. Retailers lose some $25 million per day to shoplifters, and God's word forbids stealing. I'm reminded to our youth today, young people, when I think about this story I read. Maybe you heard about the bully that sat next to the brain in a classroom on a test one day. The bully was copying from his neighbor, the brain, and the teacher suspected that there was copying going on in this situation, but he couldn't prove it until one day the brain couldn't figure out the answer to one of the questions on the test that the professor had been given, and so he wrote in the blank, "I'm sorry, but I don't know the answer to this question." The bully who was copying off of him wrote on his, "Neither do I." I heard about a father and a son. The father was a thief. They made their way to the neighbor's pumpkin patch, and the father said to the son, "You watch that way," as he pointed to the left, "and I'll watch this way," pointing to the right. And the little boy looked up at his dad and said, "Who's pointing that way?" Well, this morning, as you and I look at this eighth commandment this morning, in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, God said through Moses to the peoples, "You shall not steal." Now, when you look at the character, any of y'all ever seen Robin Hood on television? Any of you guys seen the Robin Hood movie? Well, you know that Robin Hood is a movie that's filled with action, with all of the swashbuckling fights, the romance, the legendary archery skills that he displays. And you look at him, the handsomeness, the dashing, the romantic, the courageous, the compassionate, kind, loyal. He fits the bill. Yet the bottom line is Robin Hood was a crook. He was a thief. And even though that he robbed from the rich to give to the poor, the end never justifies the means. If you want a life application this morning from this eighth commandment, here it is: a right motive does not justify a wrong method. A right motive does not justify a wrong method. Unfortunately, our world has become a world of Robin Hoods out there. When you look around and you see all the thievery that's going on across America, not to mention throughout the rest of the world at large, we certainly can understand why God said, "Thou shalt not steal." Now, many movies have been made out there, National Geographic, the History Channel, various movies have been made out there about some of the greatest art heists and jewel thefts of world renown, breaking into stores, taking merchandise, destroying businesses. You and I have seen a lot of that in the last 2 years in particular. I'm reminded of what USA Today magazine read an article once entitled, "How Honest Are Americans?" The article began this way: "Is stealing as American as apple pie? How honest is the average person? Would you steal if you knew you wouldn't get caught? Did you ever feel you would be justified in stealing from your employer? Have you ever felt that the temptation to steal can just be too strong in order to resist? You see, one of the things that you and I are going to notice this morning, there's more than one type of stealing, and there's more than one way to steal. Sadly, in the culture that you and I lived in, young people, the attitude towards stealing has greatly changed. A school teacher asked her class one day, "Suppose you found something of value. What would you do with it?" One little kid raised his hand and said, "Well, if it belonged to a poor family, I would try to find out who it belonged to and I'd return it. Otherwise, I'd just keep it for myself." Well, if you think you can sit back this morning and enjoy this sermon because this doesn't apply to me, let me ask you these questions. If you've broken any of the seven commandments we've already looked at, you've automatically broken the eighth commandment for this. If you've broken the first commandment, you have stolen from God the honor that is due Him and Him alone. If you've broken the second commandment, you've stolen from God the worship that is due Him alone. If you've broken that third commandment, you've stolen from God the dignity that is due to Him alone. If you've broken the fourth commandment, you've stolen from God the day that belongs to Him alone. If you've broken the fifth commandment, you've stolen from your parents the respect that God demands for them. If you've broken the sixth commandment, you've stolen either another person's life or another person's reputation. If you've broken the seventh commandment, you've stolen another person's image or another person's sexual purity, as we looked at last week. You see, the eighth commandment is one of the most important commandments that God ever gave to the family and to the home for this reason. You see, one of the greatest lessons parents will ever teach their children is how to be honest and how to have integrity in your life. And that's what the commandment does in four short words: you shall not steal. First of all, there are three things this morning we can take away. Number one, respect what God has given to others. Respect what God has given to others. If you think about it, there are three ways that you can come into any property of your own. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." If you will look carefully, you will see three ways that we have anything. Number one, by stealing it. Number two, by working for it. Number three, by receiving it as a gift from someone else. So anything you have that you've not earned or received as a gift, as an inheritance, you've stolen, and it makes you a thief if you took what was not yours by stealing. All of us know the obvious meaning of this eighth commandment would be the actual physical taking of something from someone else, whether you do it by force or by stealth or by deceit. It matters not whether it's by gunpoint during the daytime or whether it's breaking through a window in the darkness of the night that you steal from others. It doesn't matter to God whether it's a piece of candy, young people, or if it's a piece of jewelry, whether it's a dime or a dollar. It doesn't matter whether the person you're taking it from is rich or not. God says it's stealing. And while people steal every single day, God is watching from a distance. You may try to disguise yourself by night, but God knows. God sees. Even as a child will look around to make sure that nobody's looking before they take that piece of candy from the store. You see, the matter of the fact is that God knows it, because God sees through the nighttime, God sees through a mask, and God is looking where no one else is looking. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Job chapter 34, verses 21 to 22, "For his eyes are upon the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness or deep shadow where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. You see, God carefully watches the goings on of this world. God sees them all. No darkness is too thick enough to hide evil men from the eyes of the Almighty. I love the story of the thief that broke into the empty house. You may have heard this before, but it bears to be repeated. When a voice suddenly shattered the silence and said, "I see you, and the saint sees you." Shaken, the thief took another little step, and the voice once again said, "I see you, and the saint sees you." The thief immediately turned on his flashlight in the direction that the voice was coming from, and there in the circle of the light sat a parrot in a cage. The burglar looked around with a sigh of relief and said, "You stupid parrot." The parrot said, "I see you, and the saint sees you. You better leave." The thief looked at the parrot and said, "Ah, shut up." He reached over and he turned on a lamp, and that's when he saw a huge Doberman right there under the cage of the parrot. And the parrot looked at the Doberman and said, "Sick him, saint." There's always someone watching. Rest assured, God is looking. God is watching. Now, there are all kinds of thefts that happen as well. There's the crime, of course, of shoplifting, or what some people would call a five-finger discount. Then there are stores that are doing whatever they can to solve the problem. They use sophisticated alarm systems, one-way mirrors, looking devices, cameras, electronic devices. Even now, many of you have the door knocker on your doorknob that rings, and you can look on your phone in the middle of the night, cameras around the house, looking on to see who's coming around your house at night. Did you realize that every day there's between 1.2 million shoplifting instances here in America, causing a raid of thousands upon thousands of dollars that are stolen every single minute? And what the vast majority of those people will say when they're caught in the act, they absolutely deny it, or else they excuse it. Both employee theft and shoplifting together account for one of the largest sources of property crimes that's committed annually in the United States. I want you to think about stealing, what Amos said in the Bible. There's other things that people steal. In Amos chapter 8, verse 5, in the Living Bible, they overcharge, use false measures, and fix the scales to cheat the customers. And you hear it all the time. You'll hear people say, "Well, I went to the garage to have my car fixed, and they told me I need such and such repairs, when I found out from another mechanic I didn't need that at all." And the list goes on and on. And then there's the pirating, copies of computer programs and CDs and DVDs. And you may not call it that, but God says it's stealing. What about unpaid debts? Have you ever borrowed anything that you failed to pay back, or you didn't intend to pay back? Walk through your home or your garage sometime and just take an inventory. Do you have a book that you borrowed from somebody you never returned? Do you have some money in your banking account that you never repaid someone that you owed? Did you break something that belonged to someone else and you failed to replace that? You see, you may not consider those things as stealings, but it makes you as much a thief as putting on a mask and holding up somebody at gunpoint. What about unpaid taxes? Uh-oh, preacher, you've started meddling now. It's tax time. What about the underreporting? What about the deductions? The Bible says, "Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God." So respect what God has given to other people out there, and realize if it doesn't belong to you or to me, God says it's stealing. Secondly, this morning, release what God wants you to give Him. Now, there are at least two things that God has entrusted you with that God expects you to use for him and as well as for the good of others. You would see that in the Good Samaritan story when the Good Samaritan came by and provided the provisions necessary for the one that was laying out there in the ditch. You have a duty. You have a responsibility. What about your gifts? What about your talents? Are you using them for the glory of God? If you can sing, you ought to be singing. Amen? Let me tell you, if you can teach, you ought to be teaching. You see, whatever it is, there are all kinds of abilities. If you can help other people, I can't even tell you the calls that I get here at the church almost weekly of somebody calling to say, do y'all have anybody? Do you have a team out there? Do you have somebody that can help build a ramp? I can't get my husband into the house. He's in a wheelchair. Is there anybody that can help? Is there anybody that can do some of these things? You see, there's all kinds of things that people have been gifted with, gifts and talents, and they're not using them. And let me tell you, God didn't give them to you to sit on those. God gave them to you with a purpose in mind. Listen what God has to say through Malachi in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? Notice what God says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. You see, the principle here is that God teaches us if something belongs to him and we don't give it, then we're stealing from God, whether it's tithes and offerings or gifts and talents and abilities. You see, this may hit hard this morning, but God is the owner of all. God is the maker of all. God is the creator over all. And let me tell you, whenever you and I withhold tithes and offerings, and whenever we do not bring those to the storehouse, and we do not give God back the talents and the abilities that he's given us, we have been thieves according to his word. Just a few years ago, on average, it was determined that church members give 2.52% of their income to the work of God. 2.52%. If this verse in Malachi is true, then the average person in the church would be considered what? A thief. I know there's going to always be people that say, well, wait a minute, tithing is in the Old Testament. We were never commanded in the New Testament. Well, do you think that God expected less in the New Testament than he did in the Old Testament? Notice in Acts chapter 20, verse 33 to 35, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. This is the apostle here speaking. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, you and I are to be stewards of what God gives to us to give back so that we can reach out and to help other people. Have you ever thought about this morning, if you took all of the religious charitable organizations out of the world today, if you took all of the churches out of the world today, all of the monies out of the churches today, how much mission work would be lost? You see, it's through the offerings. It's through the givings. I like what Dan Pruitt said for many years as he pastored and as he preached. Dan always said this, when you stand up and you preach the Bible and you teach the Bible, he says, you'll never have to worry about offerings. It's whenever people deviate from God's word and they just come up and preach a feel-good sermon and all of those kinds of things. But he said, when you preach God's word, God's people will give because they know it's the thing to do. Now, I think all of you know here at New Hope, we're going on 20 years. Come May the 10th, this church will be 20 years old. And I have probably not preached on money more than alluding to it two or three times in the whole 20 years. Thanks be to God for God's faithful people who have given greatly and generously so that the mission endeavors of this church can be carried out not only in our nation, but around the world and in our city. We don't go around tooting our horn here at New Hope. We don't stick in the paper every time that we do something. But I can assure you, I personally know all of the monies that are spent in this city and in this county, in the school system, and various other organizations all over this town that we reach out and help. Your giving is because of that. There's a third thing today that I want to share about this. Am I a thief? Which thief am I? Is it that I rob God of tithes and offerings? Is it that I rob Him of my musical abilities? Do I rob Him of my singing abilities? Do I rob Him of my abilities to teach? Do I rob Him of my abilities to deek? Do I rob Him of my abilities to be a greeter, to be an usher, to be on the security team, to be on the cooking team, to help in the nursery, which they so desperately need helpers back there, to help in the children's wing, to help in the youth wing? You see, there are all kinds of things. To be a sponsor at False Creek, to be a sponsor at Cross Timbers, to be a sponsor in some of the youth activities that we have. You see, there are all kinds of gifts and abilities. Do I rob God because He's given me mechanical abilities, building abilities? You see, there's all kinds of thievery that all of us, if we're honest with, if we are truthful about, that we all do. Do I rob God of my time? You see, God has started a clock in my chest. It's called the heart. It's called the heartbeat. Someone said one time many years ago, I heard this probably 45 years ago, the clock of life, speaking of the heartbeat, the clock of life is wound but once and no one has the power to know just when that clock will stop at a late or an early hour. We must live for God each day and strive to do His will. We can't wait until tomorrow, for the clock of life may then be still. James says, what is your life? Are you and I robbing God of not giving our employer the time that is required out of my job? Am I a deacon that's giving God my time to do what Scripture says I as a deacon ought to be doing? Am I as a staff member? Am I as a pastor? Am I doing all that God says that I need to be doing with the time that I'm employed by this church? You see, there's lots of ways that we rob God. We steal, but we don't call it stealing because it's too painful. It's too close to the heart. Third and lastly, and I'm through. I think I've thrown my whole load. And I think most of us need a meal and to try to revive and recuperate. But here's my third and last point. Rely on what God has given to you. Trust God to supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply, future tense, all your needs. It didn't say your wants. How many of us in here have wants? 1,000 and more. Thank you for your honesty, my friend. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So if you believe that verse, then why steal? Back in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, God had already reminded the nation of Israel He had provided for everything they needed. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. For 19 chapters in the book of Exodus, He had proven to the nation of Israel when they were thirsty, He gave them water. When they were hungry, He fed them manna from heaven. When they were in the darkness, He gave them a pillar of light. When they were in danger, He parted the Red Sea. God had already proven that He's the great provider. And when God gave this eighth commandment, what He was really saying is, I don't want you stealing. I am your provider. What I want you to do is live each day trusting that I will provide all of your needs. Don't scheme, don't manipulate, don't deceive, don't steal what you need. I'm responsible for you. I created you. I will provide for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 33 says, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You see, stealing is a sin against God in at least two ways. First of all, every theft is a failure to trust that God will provide for our needs. Whenever you take something that doesn't belong to you, you or I, we're denying that God has given us the ability to rely and depend on him. Secondly, stealing is a failure to respect what God has provided for other people. You see, it robs what he's given to someone else, and he wanted them to have it, or else God would have given it to you. How many of you would love to have been a millionaire? Don't look surprised, you know you would. And so would I. Let me tell you, I guess God knows who to trust it with. Amen? Well, I think that we've gone about as far as we can go on this eighth commandment this morning. I don't know about you, but it hit me first, so I got it before you ever got it this morning. Let me just say this. God says, don't steal. I'll provide for you. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You see, one of the hardest things in all the world, young people, is to learn to trust, isn't it? Because people lose trust every single day of the world. We lose trust. But Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm a present help to you in times of trouble. God said, you shall not steal. I hope all of us will think about this week. And in whatever arena that we find ourselves stealing from God, whether it's through time, talent, abilities, capabilities, whatever it may be, may we find a place to say to him, Lord, I've been a thief. I've been a thief. I've robbed you of tithes and offerings. I've robbed you of time. I've robbed you of talent. I've robbed you of not getting the glory when I could have cheered somebody up that was disheartened and discouraged. I saw a person in the nursing home this week. As soon as I walked in, I saw the countenance fall from the face of a young woman. She was very grief-stricken about something in her life that she had shared with me. And I thought, oh my, you never know what a day will bring forth, what tomorrow will hold. Will I rob God of the time that he's put on this clock in my chest? Young people, carpe diem, seize the day. Seize the day. Take every opportunity you can to live for Jesus. That's all that matters. Let me tell you, all of us here this morning, in some way, some fashion, we've robbed, we've stolen something through one of these means of stealing. The question is, am I a thief? And that question for me is, Pastor, yes, I am. And the next question was this, which thief are you? Many of those areas of life that we steal. Could I have gone to the hospital and done this or this? Could I have done more grief counseling with that person? You see, there's so many ways that we steal.
when we just think it's just walking in a store and getting a piece of candy. Young people, I want to tell you this little story and then I'll quit. I spent much of my life with grandparents. And one of my grandmothers, she was as godly of a Methodist as anybody could ever be. My other one was as godly a Baptist as anyone could ever be. And I remember one day, I was just a little kid. I was younger than you are. I sneaked down what we call the hill. There was a lady that had a big plum thicket. And she had those great old big plums. And boy, they were ripe. And right across the street were those little bitty plums that anybody could have. I wanted one of those big plums. And I went over there and I got me a big handful of her plums. I started up the hill eating those. And I no longer got to my grandmother's house. Where'd you get those plums? Oh, down the hill. Where down the hill? Well, over there in Hetty's yard. She marched me all the way down the hill. Now, if I could have thrown those plums up, she would have made me do that. I want you to know to this very day, and I love those big old red plums you can get at the grocery store, but every time I get one, I go, she's watching, she's looking. She taught me a great lesson that day that even a plum, you ever stole them watermelon, cantaloupe, pecans? Oh, preacher, you've gone to meddling. It's time to go home. Would you stand as we pray together?